to kick off the second hour of the program in just a little bit. Thanks for hanging tight with us. We got more to discuss in just a few moments. We're also going to be exposing Ilhan Omar a little bit. There's an individual out there who is saying that Ilhan Omar actually lied about her birth year, and it's a big deal. It's a big, big deal. So we're excited to have AJ Kern on the program in just a little bit. She has been the one laying out the accusations in regards to Ilhan Omar not being truthful about her birth year. Now, this is a big deal for citizenship. I'll tell you why later in the program. We're also going to be discussing Chip Roy and Marjorie Taylor Greene, the two congressional members, kind of, you know, get into a little bit of a fight. It's interesting because, as many of you guys know, MTG, we're obviously a fan of her. She was on with Alex. I'll play the clip of her yesterday while Chip Roy actually responded to the claims that were made by the congresswoman in regards to the attempts to sterilize children. She's saying that Chip Roy is actually working against the will of the people in regards to that as a supporter of just that. That's it, but the amendment he's adding. We'll play both of their clips in just a moment. I also want to tell you about its devastating murder case, and it actually has been making some wicked turns lately. This rapper, and I know you don't know him, I've never heard of his music, probably for the best, but his name is David. There was a girlfriend, a 14-year-old girlfriend he had. Now, again, he's 20, so you know what that means. But his girlfriend was found after running away from home, dead in a truck. I mean, sorry, it was a Tesla that belonged to him, according to the records. Well, right now, there's a grand jury going on right now, but the private investigator who's been looking into all of this, the private investigator who apparently was hired by the owners of the home that he rented. Well, that PI is coming out and saying that he actually found a burn cage inside his home. Now, again, keep in mind, this young girl was murdered, it looks like, and her body was stuffed into the back seat, the trunk, I should say, of the Tesla. So we're going to go through the very latest on that because it's something that I think everyone should be paying attention to. This is a very, very important story. Plus, you know, the Associated Press put out an insane story, and we'll go through it in a little bit, in regards to how President Trump is responsible for young children in Bangladesh being sexually assaulted. If you're wondering how it's President Trump's fault, well, it's because he cut aid. He cut aid. Totally missing on the fact that these are Muslims, of course. It's a very compelling story, one that's meant to obviously pull at the heartstrings. They won't tell you all the details, of course, but they're blaming the foreign aid cuts. Yes, because we have to bribe Muslim men to not rape children. That's the only validation behind any of this, of course. So we'll go through this story in a little bit because it's interesting. They keep doing this. I remember we talked about it. They were going through the U.S. aid cuts and saying that, oh, look, all these gay men in Africa are getting AIDS now because of President Trump. Oh. So you mean President Trump is giving them AIDS? Not the fact that they are having homosexual sex, putting themselves at risk, unprotected sex, and can't control themselves, acting like animals. Let's just put it out like that. And then they're contracting AIDS. I mean, literally one of the interviews that was conducted, this individual was literally screaming about how, oh, President Trump cut our medical programs, what gave us preventatives from getting AIDS. And now, just a couple of weeks after those cuts were made, I have AIDS. I have HIV. So you knew that you weren't getting your preventatives and you still were such a disgusting pervert that you couldn't stop having gay sex, and somehow it's President Trump's fault. It makes sense when you don't think about it. That's what it does. So we'll talk about that in a bit as well. We'll also be talking about Melania Trump. She has a new film coming out and it looks like a good one. She just dropped the exclusive trailer. And you know, I'm kind of obsessed with Melania Trump. Maybe it's the girl in me, maybe, but she is absolutely beautiful. And I look forward to playing this trailer in a little bit because, folks, anytime I get a highlight this beautiful first lady, I always take the opportunity to do just that. So we have that coming in just a few moments. We will also be taking your phone calls in the second hour of the program as well. So you're going to want to stay put. All right, got a lot more to discuss in a little bit. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It is the final days of Christmas sale, 60% off some of your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way.
Jay. challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones Backup Network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product. Cancel any time and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot going on in the second hour of the show. We will be taking your calls both in the first, or I guess you should say second hour and the third hour of the program. So you want to chat about a new story you've covered so far, the stories we're covering up ahead, give us a call, 877-789-2539. Again, that is 877-789-2539. We're keeping it relevant to the topics we've discussed thus far. Obviously, a lot more to discuss. But if you want to weigh in, feel free to give us a call. All right, let's talk about something that happened yesterday, actually, on InfoWars. Don't know if you saw it. Alex was doing an interview yesterday. Probably saw it with Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was very insightful because we learned something new. Now, MTG was fired up because she has brought forward a bill which is supposed to protect children from, obviously, gender mutilation. Now, they're trying to sterilize children. And so Green's goal with H.R. 3492 is to protect these kids. Now, she made some accusations yesterday when she was on with none other than Alex Jones. Let's play clip 11 for you guys in case you missed it.
Chip Roy went through law school, Alex. He should know better. I think he is being misled. I don't know by who, but this is a horrible decision he's making, especially if he wants to be the attorney general of the state of Texas for the people, the great people in Texas. They want people like Ken Paxton. They want fighters, and they want someone that will stand up to Gavin Newsom. His amendment allows Gavin Newsom to continue what he's doing with these awful, it's child abuse. It's sexual child abuse. It's castration of minors. It's mastectomies of minors. It's chemical castration of minors. We should never limit the scope of that. That should be criminalized on every single aspect. This is the most common sense thing to do.
Well, it is common sense. And it's pretty hard to wrap my mind around the fact that somebody might not actually support this. So why wouldn't Chip Roy support this? Why would he add an amendment that would taint what MTG is trying to do? Especially because Chip Roy is begging and pleading with Texans to promote him to be the state's AG. Now, you know, I'm very critical of just that. I'll talk about that a little bit. But let's take a listen to Chip Roy's rebuttal in clip 12.
That's the case. Marjorie was given this vote this week to buy her vote on the National Defense Authorization Act. Everybody knows it. It happened right there on the floor of the House. The majority leader said, Marjorie, would you like to have your bill brought up to the floor? And guess what? Got a yes vote on the rule for the National Defense Authorization Act. And that's the kind of shit that keeps happening around this institution all the time, including on our side of the aisle. And I'm sick of it. And I'm sick of what happened in the Judiciary Committee when we should have done it there. We should have addressed it in the Judiciary Committee. The people who are supposed to be vanguards of the Constitution.
Okay, so obviously Chip Roy really drumming this up, but there's no reason for him to. And you notice how he's not specifically defending what MTG is saying about his amendment at all. No. He's not actually doing that. He's just instead going after her and is upset because MTG refused to originally vote for the NDAA. And then all of a sudden that changed. Now, she put up a rebuttal, of course, to his claims, saying that in the end, though, on the final passage of NDAA, that she was just a no vote because she doesn't want to fund foreign wars. Chip is now trying to pass his amendment that is actually weakening, obviously, my bill and protects privately funded pediatric gender clinics. So Chip not really providing a rebuttal on that claim, instead saying, I'm really mad at MTG because she got her way. Chip, I don't know if you've been paying attention what's going on here in Texas, but Texan parents are fired up. They're ticked off because their children are being targeted. Their children are being targeted by left-wing groups and the money-hungry individuals within the medical industry. And what's going on right now here in Texas is they've had enough of all of this. In fact, they want this nonsense purged from both public schools and obviously the propaganda to stop feeding their children to thinking, maybe I was born in the wrong body. You know, when young girls are getting their breasts cut off and young men are pretending to be women, we've got a problem here. We've got a problem here. Yesterday, side note, I was actually at Home Goods doing what I do best, and that's buying everything that I don't actually need. And I went up to the register, and in case you didn't know, we're in Austin. And for the first time I've actually ever seen this, there was what I thought was a goth boy, very goth looking. It was actually a transgender individual who, according to their own homemade name tag, was an individual who goes by the pronouns of they, them. Let me just give you this. They weren't given that name tag by Home Goods, by the way. They actually, with a post-it note, put that underneath their name tag and then taped it with scotch tape to their shirt. Now, normally, as an adult, you would be fired from a job because, well, that's absurd. Also a clear indicator that you're struggling with mental health issues. But in today's society in Austin, Texas, you can't really fire someone for that because the reality is that they file a lawsuit, you'll have to dish out millions of dollars to someone who's not worthy of that money. Well, this individual was clearly not well in the head. And even after multiple times being instructing this person to, all right, stop taping my things. It's salt lady or dude, whatever you want to call yourself. I didn't know what the biological gender was. It was very difficult to see. But the reality of it is this. This is probably a child who was told back in the day that they could be whatever gender they want to be. That the English language actually has no meaning at all. And so if you want to go by they, them, rather than he or she, you could just decide to do that. And the rest of the world is forced to comply with you. Now, this individual, while I'm instructing them to stop taping my items, I mean, literally wrapping. I bought tomato sauce, folks. And he's wrapping it repeatedly in paper and then taping it like it's a gift for Christmas. And I had multiple items and I was just like, dude, this is going to take me forever to unwrap it. Stop it. Stop it. And wouldn't it, I told him three times to stop it and he wouldn't stop it. The point to all of this is that these individuals who think that they could just change their gender, misuse the English language, go by pronouns that don't make actual sense, decide that even though I'm asking them to stop doing something, to keep doing it. Because why? Because, well, we've catered to them. We've coddled them over the years. Instead of specifically addressing those mental health issues, we pretend like this is normal. Like I have to be compassionate and understand what's going on with them. I don't. Now, naturally, I am a compassionate person, and nor did I get loud or angry. All right, after like the third, I'm like, I told you to stop doing that. Cut it out. But my whole thing here is that we've allowed these children to think that this world has to be manipulated around them and their desires, their needs. No, that's not the case. You see, they're intentionally doing this. They're intentionally going after children and destroying their lives. You know, this young man, I believed it was a young man, was someone who's probably never been told no. You can't do that. And so now what's going on is they're trying to assimilate into normal society. When someone gives them instructions, they don't want to do it. They don't do it. They don't do it. Now, if you really want to set your child up for success, you would say, hey, listen, you were born a boy, you're a boy. You're born a girl, you're a girl. So what, you're a girl who likes to play sports, you're called a tomboy. You don't have to be a girly girl. But that's not what they're doing. The profit involved in mutilating children is excessive. And that's the reason why they're cashing in. You heard Gavin Newsom go out and say that he wants more trans kids, even admitting, in fact, we played this clip for you, admitting that it's actually not very popular, but he still wants to do it anyway. They are trying their very best to destroy these children, our children. And whether you allow it to happen or not, it's up to you. Now, for someone like Chip Roy, who's going to try to allow it to happen, just because he's not happy with MTG, Yeah, it's not fair. We're voting for her bill. Not fair. Get over it, Chip. You see, this is why no one in D.C. likes Chip Roy. In fact, they're encouraging him to run for Texas AG just because they want him out of their swamp. He's annoying. Anyone who's worked with him knows that. I've heard that he's literally been fired from every job he's ever held in politics. Those are rumors. Chip Roy is a very unlikable person, and he has now just decided to step into this fight, and he wants to pretend like he has been an individual battling out the corruption. I don't know what he's trying to sell Texans, but they're not going to buy it. We hope they don't buy it. We hope they don't buy it. And, you know, as we sit back and watch all of this unravel, I've got to tell you, folks, I've had enough of seeing Chip Roy go out there and pretend like everything's okay, like you should be doing this, like this is acceptable to do. By the way, folks, Control Room, I just sent you guys over. Fannie Willis is speaking right now over in Fulton County. I just sent you guys the link. We'll bring that to you guys in just a moment. But it's interesting because Fannie Willis right now is actually testifying in front of the Senate committee, something that she's been trying to avoid. This is in Georgia right now. Obviously, she's tried her very best to go around doing this and not having to do this, but time is up. Time is up, and she is now in front of the committee and testifying under oath. We'll be dipping in and out of this, but I see that she's speaking to the senators itself. She looks agitated to be there. We'll bring that to you once we have that going. Again, Fannie Willis accused of a lot of different things. She's accused of being corrupt. She's accused of giving her boyfriend a job. Apparently wasn't her boyfriend, but they've traveled together since their last time in a courtroom. Quite often, actually. Remember, she carries caches of bags around, and that was her justification for so much. And now it looks like in the state of Georgia, they're actually trying to hold her accountable. She's been dodging this. And even the DOJ, we announced that yesterday as well. They're going after Fannie Willis, too. So we'll bring that feed to you once we have it live. Fannie Willis is speaking now to the Senate. All right, let's listen in on this one.
If that replaced any other units, and who was a part of that unit once it was stood up?
And I'm actually not sure we called it the anti-corruption unit when we first took over. So when I became the district attorney, Paul Howard had 101 police brutality cases, many that went back to years, maybe to 2009. People in the community were very upset. It was both unfair to the law enforcement officers and to the community that decisions were not made. And so I knew that one of the things that I was going to have to do was to make sure that every case got looked at and was evaluated. And so I was looking for attorneys to do that. I'm not sure if that's what we called it at first, because I think we called it the Civil Rights Unit, in fact. When we first opened it, I think it was the Civil Rights Unit. At some point, I go to visit other huge district attorney's offices that have kind of the same kind of struggles that I have as a major metro area. I went to visit the Houston district attorney's office at that time. And in that office, they had divided cases. And I thought it was a brilliant way to do business. And so I think that's the point that I then formed a civil rights unit, which would only deal with police brutality, and an anti-corruption unit. So I think when we first started that it was called the Civil Rights Unit.
Okay, how many people are part of that unit once you got it fully operational?
Oh, well, it depends. You know, the county has, in my opinion, stolen people from me, so we can't do the job as effectively as needs to be done. I've had as many as, it varies. It has varied because we had an anti-corruption unit and a civil rights unit. So it's varied.
Can you give us a range?
It really depends on who you're calling the anti-corruption unit. I've probably not had more than two lawyers in that unit, maybe three at any given time, an investigator or two, and a legal assistant. They may have been doing double duty somewhere else.
And you entered into a contract with Chris Campbell to do some taint work as a part of that unit. Is that correct?
That would be the civil rights unit.
It sounds like they were somewhat interchangeable from what you just said. You said that it was called the Civil Rights Unit when it started.
The Civil Rights Unit may have encompassed everything at first, and then it ultimately becomes police brutality cases. And so what Mr. Campbell was when the police take a statement, if I know you're not an attorney, but there's an issue called Garrity. And what happens is government employees, mostly we're talking about law enforcement officers, they will make a statement to the police, but that statement won't be Mirandized. There's all kinds of legal rules around it. I can't be privy to those statements. I shouldn't have them. Sometimes I think the police almost put them in there intentionally. And so they'll be intertwined in statements and reports. And so what he was hired to do is to redact. So once that I got a file from the GBI when somebody had been shot by an officer, I never read that. That way we were never tainted. That's why we use that word, by never seeing that. And so, yes, he was hired. He had been, I believe my recollection is he had been a former law enforcement officer, and he was a lawyer. I thought he was great for that work.
And Terrence Bradley was involved in that work.
He had been a former probation officer and an attorney. That's one of the reasons that I thought that they would do outstanding at it, because they had long histories in the law enforcement community and that, and lawyers.
Was Mr. Wade?
I have lawyers now currently doing that work.
Was Mr. Wade involved with the taint work?
No.
Mr. Wade, Bradley, and Campbell were law partners. Is that correct at the time?
Loosely is what I understand. I can't tell you about the design of, you'll have to, I can't tell you the design of his firm. I think more so what happened is they shared office space and cost or something, but I don't know. I shouldn't speak to that or speculate to it.
Did you place anyone in charge of the anti-corruption unit, or did everyone that worked for there report directly to you?
I mean, ultimately, everyone reports directly to me, but the anti-corruption unit, so when it was a civil rights unit, yes, it had a lawyer that was over it. His name is Brian Watkins. He is a lawyer that's been practicing law longer than I, and at first he had everything until we realized there was so much volume of work, because it doesn't just do this kind of work. It's not just police brutality now, right? Now it's, police lied, or it's an elected official did something wrong, and it just became too much. Once we stood up these units and my county understood we were doing these kind of things, fortunately or unfortunately, the office started to get referrals, and so it just grew.
How many cases has this unit brought to trial approximately?
Oh, I couldn't tell you over the years, but we brought some to trial, especially these police brutality cases. I couldn't tell you exactly, so I'm not going to speculate.
Okay.
It's not as many as like my major crimes unit, but I can tell you that the anti-corruption and the civil rights unit, they cost me the most money because of the experts that are needed when you are trying a police case.
How much money would you estimate that you spend a year on that unit?
I can't, and I'm not.
You can't, you're not what, I'm sorry?
I'm not going to speculate to it. I can't estimate how much.
Okay. Is that something you could provide for the committee?
I don't know that I can. What happens is I have a professional services budget, and my top deputies of certain units, so my ED over major crimes, if he needs an expert, he can hire one. For instance, if you all want to look into legislation, look into properly funding your GBI. The GBI does not have enough scientific experts. This is not a criticism of the GBI. The scientists that are there are excellent. I want that to be noted that I said that. The scientists that are there are excellent, but they do not have enough experts. So in year one, when I become the DA, they tell me, and I have an email that proves it, we can't test all your ballistics evidence. We don't have enough. So I have to go into my budget, more than $100,000, I can tell you that. I think it's been about that annually, and hire private scientists to do that ballistics work. Now, I got the names of those scientists from the GBI, but also my deputy, Mr. Watkins, over civil rights, if he needs an expert, he knows that he can get one. If my ED over major crimes needs an expert, they can get one. My domestic violence expert, if they need a domestic violence expert, they can get one. And so it all comes out of this professional services budget that I both pay attorneys that come in and work as special prosecutors, and that I pay professional witnesses that we have to hire to do our work.
So Mr. Watkins was in charge by title, or was it more so by function that he was in charge of the unit?
I don't understand your question.
Did he have a title of director of the anti-corruption unit, or was he just a person that everyone knew would make the calls within the unit?
He was the deputy of the civil rights unit.
Okay.
He remains the deputy of the civil rights unit. At some point, the civil rights unit became civil rights and anti-corruption.
Do you use those terms interchangeably now?
I do not use them interchangeably. I have one deputy over anti-corruption and one deputy over civil rights.
Who's the current deputy over anti-corruption?
Tanya Boykin.
Who was the first one?
Sonia Allen. She is now the district attorney of Cobb County. She had a great DA from Fulton endorse her, and she won.
What was Mr. Wade's role in the anti-corruption unit?
He didn't have a role in the anti-corruption unit.
With the election interference case, what unit did it fall under?
I called it the election team.
Okay. Yeah. When Mr. Wade was hired, was he hired solely to focus on this election, to work on this election team, or did he do other work within your office?
I don't remember. I think there were times where I'd bring in some of my senior personnel and ask them, you know, what's your thought on this case or these facts? I always involve wise counsel. I'm sure he was in some of those meetings.
Would you classify Mr. Wade as senior personnel and as being part of your team?
Would I classify him as senior? So he was a special prosecutor. He never worked for me as an employee. What I would call him is a seasoned lawyer. 25 years, first African-American lawyer to ever serve Cobb County as a municipal court judge. What I would call him is a lawyer with a distinguished resume.
Okay. When did you begin to consider whether to bring charges in response to the 2020 presidential election in Georgia?
Don't answer that. That's a deliberative privilege. Don't answer. I instruct you not to.
Is it true that part of your transition team was involved in the process of interviewing people before you entered office to lead the investigation to the 2020 presidential election?
I'd like to answer that.
Go right ahead. You only take my advice sometimes anyway. Go ahead.
That's really an ignorant question. And if you understand what the word ignorant means, it means the lack of knowledge. If you recall the facts, I was already district attorney when this all came to light. So it's factually impossible.
You were district attorney when what came to light?
When Raffensperger went on Good Morning America or whatever show he went on. I was already district attorney. So what you ask is a factual impossibility. Now, I know they've gotten black folks confused and said I was running for office, saying I was going to prosecute the president of the United States, but that's what we call a lie.
Okay. I would like to...
Your advice from here on out, okay?
Yeah. All right, we're up against a hard commercial break coming up in just a second, so we'll dive into that once we come back. We'll put the pause button on it, though, and let you know of anything important that does take place while we're gone. We will be taking calls, dipping in and out of that for the next, I would say, like, hour and change. So if you're on hold right now, buckle up. It might be a little bit of a long one, but we'll start taking your calls too. I want to make sure we get all of the important comments that are made by Fannie Willis under oath right now in Fulton County. We want to play that directly for you all, of course. So we'll bring it to you as it continues to develop. Obviously, this is a big one, folks, and the federal government is looking and going after her too as well. So what is being said right now in front of that Senate committee is going to be, it's going to be watched by the DOJ as well. It's going to be watched. We all know that the Civil Rights Division is going after Fannie Willis right now. And so all eyes on Willis. All right, we'll jump into that in just a little bit. We're up against commercial break. In the meantime, though, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Some of your favorite supplements are on sale, 60% off. It's the mega sale. Final days of Christmas, of course, over at thealexjonesstore.com. All of your favorites, 60% off for a limited time. All of our other vitamins as well, supplements as well, 40% off too. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and stock up today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula and you like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
The Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back. The American Journal, we're excited you're all jumping in with us. Of course, we've got our eyes on Georgia right now because Fannie Willis, the Fulton County District Attorney, is testifying in front of a Senate committee right now. And she was just asked a key question that we're going to play for you in a moment. Specifically, it could possibly incriminate her later down the line, and it's in regards to any private conversations that her and Nathan Wade possibly had before she was sworn in as Fulton County DA. Let's listen back in.
Prior to you being sworn in as district attorney, is it your testimony today that you did not have any conversation with Mr. Wade about investigating the 2020 election?
Do you want to answer?
It's a dumbass question.
I know it is, but go ahead and tell him because it occurred after she took office. But go
ahead. I didn't know that he was going to commit a crime prior to me taking office. Like, factually, it's impossible.
Okay. Thank you. Would you agree with the statement? Actually, I'll skip that question. When did you decide to hire, outside of your office, a special assistant district attorney for this election case?
Oh, Lord. So when I became the district attorney of Fulton County, the office was in absolute chaos. I have to take you back. Can you hear me?
It's a little. I was going to try to turn you up if you don't mind leaning forward.
When I became the district attorney of Fulton County, the office was in absolute chaos, and I mean every level of chaos. On the ground, the carpet was molded, and there were holes in it, and it was disgusting, a disgusting environment. There were boxes in offices, some to where you couldn't open the door. I remember walking through the office before. I told you I'd fired 50 or 60, I don't know exactly how many employees that I felt were unqualified to do this work. That doesn't mean they were bad people, but they were unqualified for the positions that they held. There were 18,000, write that down, 18,000 unindicted cases that went back 6 or 7 years that I was looking at. Not to mention another, 10,000 indicted cases in the system. Now, some that the judges had hid on judicial hold, but they were still there. So the office was in absolute chaos. And then I'm in the office I came in that Saturday, so that would have been day one. That was the day that I walked through the office. And I'm literally in the office that Monday or Tuesday. I can't recall now what day it is. And there's this phone call, and the Secretary of State saying, oh, the proper venue to investigate this might be Fulton County. And so my priority became, and this is important too, there were 200 and something murders that had been sitting for years, families that had been waiting for justice for years. And so when I come to be the district attorney, my first responsibility is just getting the office properly set up. In fact, one of the most important roles I held up that I tried to find was the head of the civil rights lawyer. So when Brian Watkins walked into my office and actually interviewed to come there, because he was not with the old administration, that was like a gift from God, that I had a lawyer that had enough experience and would be talented enough and ethical enough and have the integrity to do this work. But my primary job was getting the entire office set up. So I immediately do things like set up a murder backlog project. And I put Mike Carlson and Michael Sprinkle in charge of that. We're going to get every family's going to get an answer. They may not like the answer. The answer, maybe we can't prosecute this, but we're not going to sit with cases. We got to make decisions on these cases. And it took us years to get through that, but we did. And I'm happy to sit here and announce to you every one of those 18,000 cases, a decision got made on, to include those 101 police cases I talked about, as well as the 46,136 cases that came in January 1st, 2021 till December 31st of 2024. So while people tell these lies about the DA ain't been working, I want you to find a DA working as hard as me.
My question was, when did you decide to hire outside counsel, a special assistant district attorney, for the election interference case?
When it became obvious that this case would take so much investigation to learn the truth, and that I would need people that could focus on that. And although I had talent in the office that was being developed, each and every member of my staff had a priority. See, this is the most important case to you. Let me tell you what the most important case was to me. When I walked in the office, there had been two black children that had been killed, Sequoria Turner and Kennedy Maxwell. Those were the two most important cases to me as the DA. And I needed to make sure that those families got justice, but the cases didn't come with a bow on them. In fact, one of the cases was particularly not done properly. And so my priority became
making sure. Let me jump in on this, because this one is a fascinating one. Obviously, we're going to keep you up to date in regards to what's happening right now with the Fulton County DA. But I wanted to also let you guys know that it looks like the DHS secretary for here in the United States, Chrissy Noem, she's actually abroad right now, and she is in, drum roll please, Qatar. She's in Qatar right now. They just posted this on their X page, but it's not just Noem, and this is the part that's concerning, right? She's obviously there right now. She's meeting with officials. We don't know why or for what, but I can also tell you that the FBI director, Mr. Kash Patel, was just there last week as well. So very interesting that they're there. Again, I don't know why we're doing this. You know, there's been many people very closely associated with President Trump who have ties to Qatar. But again, I don't know why our officials, our DHS secretary, is over in Qatar right now. Of course, I'll be reaching out for comment to bring you the latest on that when we do hear back as to what she's personally doing, because it is very, very concerning, of course. Also, I wanted to remind our audience, too, that Jack Smith is expected to be giving a closed, I guess, kind of testimony in front of senators, key senators, in regards to his prosecution of President Trump and others as well. Is closed door, so obviously we won't have any recordings of that. Hopefully they do release a transcript, but not likely, because there's obviously a lot of criminal elements to all of this. So that is expected to begin in just a little bit. But we're taking your calls, and we're going in and out of the Fulton County DA's testimony, I guess I should say, in front of the Georgia Senate. But right now, let's dive into some calls. First on up, let's get to Bulldog. Bulldog, welcome to the show.
Brianna, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Brianna, I think it was Monday. I believe you had Mr. Spencer on, was discussing a lot of what was going on down in Plano, Texas with the Islamist invasion, I guess you would call it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Robert Spencer.
During that conversation you was having with him, you brought up a point about the guys that were out there protesting, I guess, was carrying a baby pig. Mm-hmm. And I guess your feeling on that was going to give sympathy to the people that are involved with all the movement down there for the Islam.
Yeah, well, they're not from, and just to add this key point, they're actually not from Plano. So I actually live in Plano. These people came to Plano to stir this up, and it's being used by CARE, which is obviously a group that's been designated as a terrorist organization in two different states right now, both Florida and Texas. But it's being used by CARE as a way to garner some empathy for their so-called Islamic Americans. And so they use these things to make it seem like they're the victims rather than the actual, according to many people who have accused them, I have to insert that, the perpetrators behind a lot of this, in my opinion.
So the gentleman that was carrying the baby pig, you believe that he was paid for by CARE? Is that what you're saying?
No,
I just want to get.
Yeah, I can't assert that type of an assumption because I don't know what his financial records look like. But I can tell you what it happens from the PR perspective, because that's what I am experienced in. I could tell you when you get those images, when you're sitting there and you're disrespecting the Quran, they utilize that as a sympathy way. Because there's so many Americans that don't actually know much about Islam. They do see it as a religion. And so when you sit back and you kind of ramp people up and you make it seem like that they're the victims here, like they're being harassed, just based on, you know, bringing a baby pig around. By the way, that baby pig was absolutely horrified. One person who was there told me that that pig had actually urinated several times on the individual who was holding that pig up. And the pig was screaming because it was horrified to be there. So that's what I was hearing from one person who was present during that protest. But yeah, in my regards to that specifically, in my opinion, I do believe that it is utilized as a PR tactic being used by groups who want to come off as the victims. Now, I don't know if their intention was that, of course. They're claiming that they were there just because they wanted to protest Islam and those that we've brought in over these last few years. But I've been in Plano for several months now. I've gone to the hearing that took place. Christian conservatives represented completely, and it was why one judge, Chris Hill, did block them from building temporarily on their land. So that is the more productive way to go about this, not giving them footage of what it looks like us disrespecting what they believe is a religion and allowing them to use those images to garner sympathy from those that are just flat out ignorant is where my stance was on that.
I thank you for the clarification on that, because I'm trying hard not to crash out with all that's going on.
Yeah.
The other thing that I was wanting to ask you, and I know I need to hurry because you have other people you need to talk to. But as far as everything that's going on with the Trump administration, do you honestly think that we're going to see any kind of prosecution or anybody actually put in chains?
Yeah. Well, okay, so I'd like to be optimistic and I'd like to say yes, but the reality of it is I don't see anything happening. I see that they're leaking information and it's coming straight from these agencies. You know, normally they say, oh, we can't tell you anything. It's an ongoing investigation, but there are certain pieces of details they're putting out there in the public sphere, and I don't like it. I don't know if it's a way that they think they're going to win midterms, if they tell you, oh, we're still working on it. You guys got to keep voting for us. We continue our efforts. I don't think it's a winning strategy at all. I think it's discouraging to the American people because we demand more. We demand that these people are held accountable. We're not asking for a political persecution. We're asking for those criminals who, you know, completely just destroyed our Constitution, teared it up, and decided that they were going to go after their political opponents, for those individuals to be held accountable. Those who put J6ers in prison for crimes that they did not commit, we asked for those people to be in prison. So, yeah, it's so infuriating, Bulldog, that we're still at this point where they haven't done anything. I'll be optimistic and say that, okay, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're still working on this, but keep in mind, when the Biden regime wanted to go after J6ers, they had them up and arrested within a matter of days. They didn't need this well-drawn-out plot to go after these people. They were already cooking up their theories about going after President Trump and how they were going to lie and throw him in prison. So I'm not optimistic here, but I'll tell you, today is December 17, 2025. Not a single Democrat involved in the Obama-Biden regime has been arrested. So, Bulldog, that's where I stand on this. Thank you for calling, my friend. We appreciate your input, of course. And thanks for letting me clarify that in case it wasn't clear that day. I appreciate you doing that because I want to be clear. I have no insight into people's foreign ties. I know I see money getting thrown around all the time. I've been offered money. I reject everything, of course. And I get it in writing in case anyone ever tries to go after me for something stupid. But again, I do want to make sure that everyone knows that that was my opinion. I don't think it's a good thing when we go out there and we go after these people, and we give them propaganda that they could spew as they are victims. Victimhood. I don't like that stuff. So thanks for calling in, Bulldog. All right, let's turn to Jay. And does that say Tokyo? I mean, I have bad vision, Jay. Where are you based out of, Jay?
Can you hear me? Is there someone there?
Hi, Jay.
Wow, you can hear me. Okay. Wow, this is interesting. So first off, I'm an Italian-American from New York like you, and I just have to say you're doing a great job, but are you really buying, like, canned tomato sauce or jarred tomato sauce?
Okay, Jay, listen here. Don't hate me, but if you actually go to Home Goods, do yourself a favor. Go to Home Goods and take a look at their...
I don't have it.
I know. Take a look at their section. It's like a... They have like pastas and stuff. Everything's actually from Italy. And I'm not lying to you because my sister just came back from Italy and she knows I'm obsessed with truffle oil. And it's funny because the control room was also roasted me a bit for admitting that on air. But I actually got a little gift of olive oil for my sister and it's truffle oil, but it's made in Italy. She brought it back here. It's the same stuff they have in Home Goods. So go to Home Goods, look at the back. It's actually Lazy Day. The tomato sauce there was very good. Their pasta also, it's just flour and water, nothing else. None of those other additives that I feel like when I eat it here in the States, it makes me feel swollen. I don't feel good afterwards. Honestly, I could eat some Italian Home Goods pasta and I still feel good at the end of the day. So be open-minded, I should say.
I'm very glad you said that. That's a great segue. So I was just joking about that thing because I called up and then like, what do you want to talk about? And then you just started talking about how you bought the jarred pasta sauce. And I was like, ah, but what I want to say is I think we can all agree, you, me, and everyone listening, that we're basically lied to on a day. We are lied to on a daily basis, right? We can go back to where do you want to start? Okay. So this whole thing in Bondi Beach, in Australia, it happened. And I want to say on June 16th, I went to Thailand. And that's when Israel was having a 12-day war, right as America was bombing Iran. And I got to Bangkok, and I wasn't sure where I was going to stay. And I used to live there. So I was like, bring me to the Arab Quarter. Most people don't even know there's an Arab Quarter in the center of Bangkok. It's this little enclave. And you don't even feel like you're in Asia. You feel like you're in some Middle Eastern country. Mm-hmm. And I got there like at 1 a.m. and I was out all night until early morning. And I met people from all over. And it's, you know, it always hits me when I meet someone and they're like, where are you from? They're like, I'm from Iraq. It hits me in a way. And the next guy's like, I'm from Syria. I'm from Yemen. I'm from Egypt. I'm from Pakistan. I'm from India. And a lot of these countries don't get along. But when you're going off about Islam, so I'm like you, I was raised Roman Catholic, but I've lived in a lot of places. I lived in the most populous Muslim country, but that island I lived on in Bali was Hindu. Spent a lot of time in Malaysia, Thailand, and now in Japan. And the thing is, people are people. We're all the same. They want these stratifications. They want to like separate everyone, but I told my wife this last night. I said, I've met so many people. I've never had a Muslim people. I've never met a Muslim person that was like an asshole. Sorry, maybe you're going to cut me off after that. But Bondi Beach was just like, you know, a good day in Gaza during the ceasefire. And yeah, I guess that's it. We can talk food next time. Are you even still listening? I don't know.
Hi, Jay. Yes, I'm still in. So, no, you know, Bondi Beach, I have to say my heart and sympathy goes out to the families. Anyone who's just sitting there trying to enjoy a holiday season with their or the first day of Hanukkah, regardless of whatever religion you fall on or believe in, I should say, I do believe that my empathy should always be with the victims. I mean, they were doing nothing wrong, just laying out on the beach. And they have no, as far as we know, they have no alliance with the Israeli government. So I wouldn't even try to associate the both of those. I think that's not fair to do just that. You know, when you're sitting on a beach, you're just trying to enjoy the holiday with your loved ones. It doesn't warrant just because, you know, like, let's just say some Iraqis decided to shoot Americans who were laying out on the beach just because of the Iraqi war that we got involved in, obviously, and that we started, that wouldn't validate the deaths of Americans. So I kind of disagree with that stance. But I understand your stance as to individuals from all over the world who do come together and how, yeah, I mean, I've met Muslims, obviously. I do have Muslim friends. But the reality of it is, if I were to give you four poisonous apples, if I would give you one poisonous apple, four apples altogether, and tell you to figure out which one's poisonous, would you actually take the chance and start eating and seeing which one is fatal? I mean, I wouldn't. And so I'm okay with them, and I wish them well, prospering in their countries. But here in the United States, I would not allow them to come in if they come from countries with terrorism and other things obviously going on in their own country. And, you know, a lot of these people don't speak out on these issues. You know, when we sat back and watched, and again, this was an American, a homegrown terrorist, what happened on New Year's Day this year when we saw that Islamic terrorist attack it carried out, where he used his vehicle as a weapon and killed those innocent Americans who were just trying to enjoy the holiday. The mosque that he belonged to didn't condemn his behavior and said, told the other followers to not speak to the FBI. And so I have a big problem with their lack of being able to speak out. And also, when you crack open the Quran, you see what's in it. Yes, not all of them believe the violence that's encouraged in the Quran, over 100 verses that do just that. But if they're unwilling to condemn it, I have a major, major issue with that. And I just think that, you know, why do we bring people into our country if they're unwilling to condemn violence, if they're unwilling to do just that? We live in a great country. We don't owe anyone anything. We don't have to bring people into our country. We could sit here and enjoy the fruits of our ancestors' labor when they sat here and they protected us. I mean, I'm okay with just saying that. I wish them nothing but the best in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Iran, or wherever they come from. But we don't have to welcome them into our country and let them in just to make us feel better and warm and fuzzy on the inside, Jay. So thank you for calling in. I want to keep getting down the list of callers, of course, because we're limited on time today. So, Jay, thanks for calling into the show. I appreciate it. Let's turn to Benny in Tennessee. Benny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Deanna, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I've got a couple of things I want to go over. Number one, with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I really, mm-hmm. really wish that Trump would kind of go the same way he went with Elon and work it out with her, because she's a patriot. She's MAGA. She's a patriot. She was so big on his success in getting in the office this time, and I just think he made a mistake. I think that he wasn't paying attention to what she was doing, and people were in his ear, and they just screwed up the way he was seeing it, and that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. Number two, I think that this is a statement. I think Bondi and Patel and Blanche, they just got to go. They turned a 100-yard dash into a 400-yard hurdle race, and we don't need the hurdles, so they got to go.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone, Benny.
My question is for Dan Bongino. He was such a strong, opinionated, powerful podcaster, and now he looks like a pit bull who just realized that his nuts were clipped and he can't lick him anymore. I'd like for the podcaster to stand in front of the mirror and interview the deputy director. And that would be the most interesting interview, to see Dan Bongino, the real Dan Bongino, go after the fake one that's in the FBI.
Yeah.
And then my final statement, and this is a suggestion the MAGA has taken such a shot in the nose over all the promises that were promises kept, mm-hmm. turned into promises made, promises blocked, and now they're promises made, promises forgotten. And we just need a big victory. And my suggestion for the big victory is go after one that's going to get everybody behind him again, and that's get Fauci and put his ass in jail. It's a crime against humanity, so he's got no protection against from his pardon. And the man, that would be such a big victory that would really get the base fired up again, I think. And then he needs to kind of take that Elon Musk thing where he gets his people to send him a text once a week about what they did for the country this week, and just kind of go for it. Just put his nose in on at least one victory a month. You know, get us some victories, some big ones, and get the base behind us before the midterms.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Fauci stuff is definitely something that would be easy, an easy victory if they were authentic about it. And they've already received the criminal referral. I believe it was Senator Rand Paul that did just that. And when it comes to MTG and Trump, yeah, I'd like them to build buddy up and go back to being how they were previously. I think it's really hard, though, for the president to do just that, because I'm not a fan of the interview she did yesterday on CNN, I think it was. These left-wing media outlets are going to try to create a wedge between the two, and they're going to continue to go at that because they like the fact that we are so divided. Because like you just said, Benny, we are stronger together. MTG, President Trump, are stronger together. And the more interviews she does with these mainstream outlets, the more they're going to create friction and try to poke to see if President Trump bites. And I think that's what happened yesterday as well on CNN. So I would like for it all to kind of just stop. That would be ideal. And, you know, you mentioned Dan Bongino also in there as well. Dan Bongino, I think he's working obviously hard, but I think when you realize how deep all of this goes, I don't think he has a fight in any of this anymore. These reports, although I think the FBI has denied these reports, it's the second time we've heard these leaks that he's looking to resign. And he makes personal phone calls to a lot of his old buddies. So I have a feeling there's something there. More than what he's kind of alluding to. So we will obviously keep our eye on that, of course. And Benny, I appreciate you calling into the show. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. It might be a little bit of a long hold time, but we're going to be taking your calls again in the third hour of the show. I do have a guest coming up, and we'll get to that first in the next hour, of course. AJ Kern, she's been doing a lot of digging into Ilhan Omar, and she's uncovered something that she believes should be a top priority right now. She believes that she caught Ilhan Omar lying about her birth year. That's important given the fact that there is an ongoing immigration investigation into Omar. We'll bring you the very latest on that front in just a bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have 60% off your favorite supplements going on right now. Methylene Blue, Sea Moss Gummies, and Shilajit Gummies as well. 60% off. For a very limited time, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Also, 40% off other supplements as well over thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body to be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.